Here we go. It is hour three of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network on a Thursday. Thanks for waking up with us live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. Coming up, we're going all in on college football this hour. First, we bring in the great Heather Dinich from ESPN to get her take on the upcoming season. Then in 20 minutes, we will look at the numbers with Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. And finally, best bets come your way at 8:40. Also, welcome in our final hour to our audience on Stadium. You can stream us on Bally Sports Live and the Bally Sports Live app, along with our friends on YouTube TV, DirecTV, and Amazon Prime as well. And as promised, we're going to get right to it and bring her in, Heather Dinich, the National College Football Reporter for ESPN. Heather, thanks for being with us. I think the last time I talked to you was, God, I don't know, it was ages ago, but it's always great seeing you on ESPN. And like everyone, I know you've been in on the Arch Manning hype. So where do you stand on the hype versus what we've actually seen?
What we've actually seen is Arch Manning against a bad Mississippi State team. We got to see him against a good Ohio State defense. And then I think everybody can start to make assessments on how good he might be this season. I mean, as far as the hype goes, having done this for literally decades, it's unmatched. And that's because of his last name, the pedigree, the genes, everything that goes with having the name Manning on the back of your jersey. But as far as how quickly he meets that is yet to be determined. And, you know, I talked to Steve Sarkisian this week about that, and he told me that fair expectations are just to go out there and not be superhuman, execute the offense, do what he does. He says there's no special meetings this week. Just go out there and play football.
All right, Heather. So when I saw that you were coming on our show, I got really excited because we have been talking to a bunch of college football people, and we always ask them about their opinion on the playoff. But most of these people are not as plugged in or nearly on the level that you are. You are certainly in the know when it comes to the movers and shakers of college football, to the point where I was a little nervous to ask you this question because maybe you know some things that are not up for public consumption just yet. But to put it vaguely, what can college football fans expect from the playoff over the next few seasons?
So in 2026 and beyond, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti have made it very clear there is a playoff format in place, and it's exactly what it looks like now. 12 teams, 5 highest-ranked conference champions, top 4 ranked teams get the top 4 seeds and first-round buys. If they want to change it, those two gentlemen have to agree to that, and right now they're not on the same page. And most recently, the Big Ten has started to circulate a 24 or 28 team playoff format that caught a lot of people off guard, and a lot of people weren't happy that they were caught off guard about it. And the bottom line is this: they've got to agree to it. The Big Ten and the SEC have to agree to it. And the Big Ten wants automatic qualifiers. The reason for it is because there's some mistrust with the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. The Big Ten isn't convinced that the committee can accurately evaluate strength of schedule between a 3 or a 4 loss Big Ten team or SEC team and a 1 or a 2 loss Big 12 or ACC team that might not have played as difficult of a schedule.
Heather, when you look at the teams this season who are certainly going to make the playoff or have a direct path, one of those teams is clearly Penn State. How much pressure is on James Franklin, because we keep hearing this is the year, this is the year, this is the year?
It's the weight of the world on his shoulders, because he said in Las Vegas at Big Ten Media Days, this is the best personnel that I've ever had. And when you as a head coach come out and say that, you set the bar high. I have Penn State my preseason number one, and the reason for that is because when I do preseason rankings, I go by what I know on paper, and I know that Penn State has NFL talent all over the field. I think Drew Aller is going to increase his NFL draft stock because I think he has better wide receivers coming back, but I know he has one of the best running back tandems coming back in Nico Singleton, Catron Allen. And you don't come back to school and forego the NFL to lose at home to Oregon. It might happen, but you're not coming back if you're those guys to not contend for a national title. And, you know, James Franklin knows the numbers. He knows the expectations. He has said he's trying to change the narrative. But, my gosh, I don't think people understand how much more difficult it is to win a national title in the 12-team college football playoff. What Ohio State did last year after losing to Michigan, in my mind, is underrated. To win four straight games, I don't care who you are, is really hard.
Absolutely. So you were talking about the teams that you know about with everything on paper, with returning guys. Who's the biggest wild card in college football? It could be a team. It could be a player. Somebody with an extremely high ceiling, but also maybe there's a low floor there.
So immediately I go to Bill Belichick and North Carolina. Oof. Immediately.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I think they are the biggest mystery in college football because not even Belichick knows what he has with this roster. It's a complete overhaul. There's transfers all over the place. There's a new quarterback. There's unproven skill players. But the crazy thing is they've got one of the easiest schedules in the ACC. I want to say their overall schedule strength is about 70th in the country. So that's a team where you feel like this could go either way. I mean, you don't know. They could be contending for the ACC. They could be have a losing record. They could just be a mediocre bowl team. I don't know. And it's all eyes on Bill Belichick.
Talking with Heather Denich, the National College Football Reporter for ESPN. Find her on Twitter at CFBHeather. So I wanted to go back to the SEC for a moment, Heather, because I know Texas is getting all the attention. But are we sleeping on a team like Alabama because Nick Saban isn't there and because so much of the focus is on the Longhorns and Arch?
Yes, I think everyone is sleeping on just how competitive the SEC at the top is going to be in general. I mean, I know there's a lot of love for Texas, but the reality to me is this race is wide open. It's not just Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. It's Georgia. It's LSU. I mean, if LSU goes into Clemson and wins that game, they've got a first major step forward towards competing for the college football playoff. And I go back to what James Franklin said. Brian Kelly said it too. We've got a team that can contend for the national title. All right, Brian Kelly, you set the bar. So, you know, no one's talking about Georgia and Kirby Smart. I mean, they only played in the college football playoff last year. But yeah, Alabama is absolutely, in my mind, a college football playoff team. Again, on paper, they should be very good up front. And I think with Kalen DeBoer bringing in offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, one of the secrets to DeBoer's success has been the staff continuity, the familiarity with those guys. They've worked together forever. And Ryan Grubb's also really good, too. So I think breaking in a new quarterback, but having the talent around him puts Alabama in the college football playoffs this year.
I wanted to ask about Brian Kelly because we have the first game of the season coming up. And I think for most teams, like, there are big games, but they don't feel like make or break games. But for Brian Kelly and season openers, after some of these losses, you can feel the tension in the room. How much pressure is on Brian Kelly in this first game of the season against Clemson?
Well, let's make this clear. He's not on the hot seat, all right? People who are saying Brian Kelly's on the hot seat don't know that his buyout is a gazillion dollars. Now, if this were a catastrophic season, then maybe that conversation gets real. But there's no excuse for it to be a catastrophic season. And there's an enormous amount of pressure on him because the LSU fan base is putting it on him, right? And I mean, we've got former players on ESPN who are saying the exact same thing, that, you know, if he doesn't win that game, he's going to lose in the court of public opinion, but he's not going to lose his job. And the reality is LSU has the 11th toughest schedule in the country. So if they come out of that Death Valley with a loss, there's plenty of opportunities to compensate for it, but there's also plenty of opportunities to lose another game or two.
Heather, outside of the Power Four conferences, is there a team that has your attention or you think could maybe by the end of the year be a team we're talking about?
Tonight, Boise State, South Florida.
Yeah.
You got to watch that game. This is a big deal because either one of those teams can win their respective conferences. The head-to-head result is going to be a factor on Selection Day if they do. UNLV is also a team to watch, even though they struggled a little bit early in a win in week zero. But watch Boise State tonight. I talked to Spencer Danielson, their head coach, and he told me everybody looks at our team. He told his team this. He said, they think you can't be anything because we don't have Ashton Jeanty. And he's convinced that the best is yet to come for them. So that's a team I would keep an eye on. And he reminded his team that last year at this time, they were not in the top 25. But remember, the highest ranked group of five conference champion is in the playoff. But it's going to be harder for a team like Boise State to get one of those first round byes because it's a straight seeding model. So the committee's top four teams are going to get those top four seeds.
All right, I wanted to ask you, because you had said that Penn State is your preseason number one, but do you think they win the national championship? I don't think this is the same question, because I think a lot of people are on the same page as you saying this is an extremely talented team, but people still have reservations about Penn State. So do you have them winning the national championship, or do you think it's somebody else?
I do, because I just kind of feel like you got to be consistent. But I do have reservations. I mean, let's be honest here. I've been doing this a long time. I've written the story before. James Franklin has a lot of talent. I mean, I remember when Olu Fashanu was up there up front for those guys, and I was like, this is going to be the running game. And Allen and Singleton took a step back that year. That was like two seasons ago. So, yes, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, but for the sake of consistency, I do have them winning the national title right now. I have them going into Ohio State, winning that game. I think Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator they hired from Ohio State, is going to be a bit of a secret weapon, even though I'm the one saying that. Penn State's not. They're like, I don't know about that. But I think he's going to help them.
Before we let you go, Heather, we got about 2.5 minutes here, but with Ohio State replacing both coordinators, I mean, it's different than in the pros because you have this influx of blue chippers that just replace the guys who left for the NFL. But how much does that affect how you look at a team when you're replacing a couple of big name coaches?
Well, it is significant. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on Matt Patricia, their defensive coordinator they hired from the NFL. We'll see what happens. But I kind of perked up a little bit when I talked to Steve Sarkisian this week about scouting Ohio State, and his perspective on it was, look, Ryan Day's fingerprints are always all over the offense, with all due respect to Chip Kelly, their former offensive coordinator, and Jim Knowles did a terrific job with that defense. So when Texas plays Ohio State, he's not expecting them to look philosophically different. It's a matter of how many wrinkles are in with the new guys. But, you know, realistically, I think I agree with Sark that they're not going to look that different. It's a matter of, especially with Patricia, because he came in from the outside, whereas OC was promoted. It's just a little bit different in terms of the buy-in and familiarity.
You can check out her excellent work on ESPN as the National College Football Reporter. It is Heather Denich. Heather, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Man, she knows her stuff. And that has me excited. You could hear the excitement in her voice. Like, just, you know, she's talking about Sark perking up. Like, you could hear her, like, ready for the season like so many of us are. And she has such great insight talking to the coaches. But, yeah. That's just all to say, like, I'm also excited. I've also had a Red Bull and coffee this morning, but I'm really pumped for college football.
I like how she gave us homework. Said, no, you need to watch Boise State and USF. You got to do it. So
do it.
If she says, because I have to watch
it. She's the expert. We have to do it. I mean, I was going to maybe watch Dateline, but nope. Boise State, USF it is. I mean, I was going to watch it no matter what.
I need to look and see who's the head coach at USF now. I don't even know. Like, isn't Gus Malzahn somewhere else? I used to follow, I think it was it UCF because of Gus Malzahn? Because I covered Auburn for a while. And, like, Gus Malzahn was the coach that I would interview all the time. But I have no idea where he is. So I need to do some research and see what's up.
Oh, I know. Malzahn Watch 2025. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out where he is. But I'm excited.
He's at Florida State.
He is?
He's the offensive coordinator at Florida State now.
Oh, well, okay. What happened to Florida State, by the way? I mean, they're fine. But, I mean, remember 2 years ago, got screwed out of the playoff, undefeated season, and, like, man, it's like falling off a cliff. It's crazy. But I'm going to watch Boise State. I have a little soft spot in my heart for the old Broncos, so I'll definitely be watching that at 5:30, which is great. Coming up next, we'll look at the college football season from a different perspective and take a gander at the numbers as we bring in Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. That is next on the Daily Tip, and it is here on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back on a Thursday. Great to have you with us. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Coming up on the show, we're going to look at the upcoming college football season from a betting perspective. And we bring in Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. So I know, you're not someone to get excited about NC State football. But will you at least watch and say, like, hey, maybe I get surprised tonight. And also, I hate ECU.
Well, I will not say I hate ECU.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's bring Douglas in right
from
here.
From the top rope.
From the top rope coming in. Like, I was asking Chelsea. She went to NC State. You are ready to talk about ECU. How do you feel?
I apologize, Chelsea. He had said we're bringing on Douglas Farmer, went straight into college football question. I only assumed, and I will despise anybody who says they hate any of my 136 college football teams.
Oh, wow. Well, I do know.
So you love all of the teams? Like, I feel like you have to hate somebody.
Nope. I am in this sport to appreciate the absolute messiness of it. If we cannot enjoy this mess, we are missing the point of sports.
Boo. You gotta hate a rival? Like, ECU is our, like, little brother. So, like, I just don't like them. And here's the thing. Like, NC State, from a betting standpoint, like, everybody's always like, oh, there's value on NC State this year. You know how that's worked out over the past five seasons? It never happened. So, excuse me if I am a little cynical about my team, because we have seen some line movement in that game. It was 12.5. Now it's all the way up to 14. And everybody's like, oh, Chelsea, take NC State. I know better. Back when Russell Wilson was our quarterback, we didn't even win that game. He threw, like, multiple interceptions, and ECU beat us. They have our number. I feel like they always play us closely. So from somebody who went there, I am just saying, from a betting standpoint, I am not keen on NC State laying 14.
Refresh my memory. They met, am I thinking right? They met in a bowl game and got in a skirmish at the end of last season, didn't they?
They hate each other. That's what I'm saying. It's like, they're not like you. They are not judicious individuals. All right, so we didn't bring you on, though, to talk about NC State and ECU. I understand that's not the big game of the weekend. So let's get to some of these big games. And I know I'm not throwing you a curveball here, and I know Jenks probably wanted to ask you about this one because he is a Texas fan, so don't tread lightly, I would say. Texas, Ohio State. I feel like it's the premier game of the weekend. This line has been going all over the place. Now it's down to 1.5 at MGM. Who do you think wins this game?
Texas. And let's be clear, ooh, Jenks, don't get your head too big. Don't get too excited. I'm not really endorsing Texas so much as I am all the way out on Ohio State. Terrible defensive coordinator hire that's going to backfire pretty quickly. First time starting quarterback, first time offensive coordinator. This is not how you keep a roster together after it lost all it did. Now, we know why it lost all it did. You had to retain those players for a season to win the national championship. It paid off. It worked. But this is now such a new-look roster. Plenty of talent. But you're asking Brian Hartline and Julian Sand to keep up with Sark and Arch. And you're asking Matt Patricia of Detroit Lions failure to capitalize on the talent that is left over. I do not see it from the Buckeyes. If you really, really want me to keep talking on it, I'll tell you that I don't think Ohio State even makes the playoff this season.
Oh, brings me such joy. You don't have to be in on Texas. That brings me such joy. I'm not a big Ohio State guy. But let me ask you this, because I know we want to get to some games here, but I saw in your timeline, which I love this, you said there is not a team you are unprepared to discuss. So tell me how much work that you are putting in where I could ask potentially about any team and you'd be like, yeah, I can talk about that.
Well, this week especially, I am locked and loaded. I still edit my articles by printing them out hard copies just to make sure I'm not putting too much on our editors of stupid typos. I wrote 4,500 words of a win total on every team on Tuesday this week. So you could quite literally hit me with any team now, and I'll have to flip to the page, but I'll have a canned line ready for it.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. I don't know if that's impressive or, like, depressing.
Yes.
Both. It is both. Because I'm looking at some of these picks, and listen, I will say in the world of college football, people are always looking for more teams to add to their parlay. So give us some parlay pieces this week in college football that people can pepper in there.
Well, one, if you really want to get moving early, Friday night, Georgia Tech at Colorado. And I know everybody still wants to talk about Colorado, and I know everybody's going to think altitude, home field advantage. Give me all of the Georgia Tech -4.5 that you can find. Georgia Tech is the more physical team. And this is not a shot at Deion. Like earlier, it's not that I'm in on Ohio, in on Texas. I'm out on Ohio State. This is not that I'm out on Colorado. It's that I'm in on Georgia Tech. It's the more physical team and the better coach team. Brent Key does a fantastic job of making sure his team is built from the trenches out. And that is the typical Colorado weakness. We're all talking about how Shedeur Sanders is taking these sacks in the preseason. He has always turned pressures into sacks. The sacks are his fault. The pressures, look at the Cleveland Browns offensive line. Look at the Colorado offensive line of the last 2 years. Deion has never decided to build that offensive line through recruiting, only through the transfer portal, and that is a failing strategy. There's not enough offensive line talent in the world to build through the portal. So Georgia Tech should just be able to dominate this game physically. You want to throw one in your parlay on Friday night, give me a Georgia Tech -4.5.
Oh, man, I freaking love that pick. Love that. Now, let's do some real sicko stuff here, because there's someone you like between Kent State and Merrimack.
Kent State is a historically bad football team. They are so bad that analytically, they may be a touchdown better than last year, and they will still be multiple points the worst team in FBS football. Merrimack is a 6.5-point underdog at Kent State. Merrimack should win this game outright. Merrimack returns its quarterback, a couple of starting offensive linemen, and that alone is enough to make me believe you can beat Kent State. Kent State could not run the ball last year. It was one of the worst teams in push rate. How far can the running back get before he's hit? And then they lost their leading running back, and they lost most of their offensive line. So an already terrible unit gone. And it's not like these guys were picked off. Like, you look at Purdue, 18 of their 22 starters moved up in the world. Kent State lost starters to FCS teams. That's how badly everybody of any caliber wants out of Kent State. This is a historically bad football team, and that presents value in betting the FCS team, because most of the world is just not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know Merrimack had a football team. I have bet on them in basketball before. I did not know that they had a football squad. All right, let's go back to
FCS,
like a bigger game.
They're decent. Oh, fine. A bigger game
still,
than Kent State.
It is a team. I know. It's hard to find one, but I think I've found one. So LSU-Clemson. Do you have a side here?
I very much like Clemson -4. I am deferring. In my head, home field advantage plus the more veteran quarterback, that should put this at 4.5 right there, period. Cade Klubnik developed a touch on his deep balls last year. I think it was 46.6%, 1,200 yards, and 16 touchdowns on passes that traveled at least 20 yards in the air, compared to the year before where that was 35%, 300-some yards, and 3 touchdowns. He found that deep ball last season, opened up Clemson's offense, returns his top three receivers. So Klubnik and offensive coordinator Garrett Riley, which the casual fan may remember was the OC mind behind that TCU run back in 2022, that combination is not giving enough due, and that combination should outpace LSU, especially against LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker, who is such an aggressive mind. He's going to put his defensive backs out on an island in a game that he should not do that.
We're talking with Douglas Farmer, who is all over college football for covers.com. When you handicap, I'm curious, I mean, you clearly know a lot. What does your process look like? How much time would you say you spend on each individual game?
Each individual game in a week like this is a lost cause. Week one, the lines have been bruised and battered all summer. I know I'm not going to find a line that is off by a ton. This LSU-Clemson game, it's at 4. If you look around in the world, you might find a 3.5. And here I'm saying, I think it should be 4.5. Now, that's a key number, but it's not massive. It's not a massive difference. Whereas later on in the season, there will be plenty of games where I'm like, well, they're off by 3 points. So this week, it's more, what matchups do I know that I'm highlighting that maybe you're not getting enough due? Let's keep using that example. Cade Klubnik is not getting enough due. His deep ball last season really, really jumped off the page. And that should be, I mean, he's 9-1 to win the Heisman last I saw. He should be further down those odds, because that deep ball is going to get highlights. And college football just struggles. If you have a truly elite quarterback who can hit those 20-yard passes, college football generally struggles to defend those. So right now, I'm looking around the country, and I'll grab this one. These are the games I highlighted to start this week of, you know, these are the numbers that I still really believe in. Buffalo plus 18.5 at Minnesota. That's now down to 17.5 last I saw. I'll still be on Buffalo tonight. I'll be in the stands in a Minnesota Gophers hoodie, quietly hoping Buffalo keeps it within two touchdowns.
It's the way to do it. You can rep a team, but you can bet on a different one. That's what I'll be doing probably with my NC State Wolfpack. I will not be betting on them, but I will be proudly wearing my gear. Okay, it looks like you have a play in Southern Miss and Mississippi State. I guess you could say that's a semi-big game, but you must feel strongly about it if you have a play on it.
I don't know that we can call it a semi-big game, except for the fact that it's the defending Sun Belt champion Marshall. Yes, I said Marshall. Now in Southern Miss uniforms. Charles Huff left Marshall in a rather contentious divorce, if you will, and then just brought most of his roster. Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year, quarterback, brought most of Marshall's starting defense over to Southern Miss. One of the poorest programs in the country now has this influx of talent. We're not properly appreciating that. The transfer portal is always viewed as this money-making machine, but what it really is the immediate eligibility upon transfer. That's what changed so many of these things. And our traditional power ratings struggle to understand the continuity that this kind of move makes. Charles Huff, new coach, whole lot of new players. No, they're just in a different city. Going against Mississippi State, who got some better talent this year, but it's still a floundering SEC program that I don't have a lot of faith in, and is on the road as a 13.5-point road favorite. Give me the home underdog live.
You know how it goes, Douglas. Eventually, you know, Vegas catches up, even if they're off early on with their lines. But is there a team where, you know, you were talking about teams or players not getting their due. Is there a team right now that you think, until lines potentially catch up with this particular squad, this is a team that could get a lot of my money?
You know, the way you started to ask that, I was ahead of the question in my head thinking, I don't know. And I'm going to look up a bigger game that we haven't discussed, and okay, there we go. Alabama is currently a 13.5-point favorite at Florida State. Kalen DeBoer in year two has always improved his record by at least 3 wins. That was at a lower FCS school that some people would be surprised they have a football team, Sioux Falls. That was in the Mountain West. I'm currently blanking. Maybe he was at Fresno. And that was at Washington. He took Washington in his second year to the national championship, the college football playoff. This is a hallmark of Kalen DeBoer. His team's so improved in year two. When he got hired at Alabama, I was looking around for a Alabama 2025 SEC ticket. Last year, they won 9 games, improved that by 3. Boy, math is pretty easy there. I think Alabama is going to win 12 games before the playoff, which is me saying probably a 12-1 SEC title. I'm getting them at under 2 touchdowns against Florida State. I'm going to get them at a too small number against Wisconsin. I'm going to be on some Alabama for at least September.
But I will say, we were just talking about Gus Malzahn, who's now the offensive coordinator at Florida State. He did beat Alabama, but also that was a much better team, and that's back when Nick Saban was there. But let's go macro, because today we've been doing our college football predictions. We've got a minute left. Who do you think wins the national championship this year?
Penn State, full stop. Penn State is following the Michigan model from 2023 and the Ohio State model from 2024. Retaining the players who would have been third or fourth round draft picks is your best use of NIL. These are players that are ready for the next level. They are physically already set for the title. And they come back, frankly, focus less on classes than they ever did because now they're graduate students. These are the kinds of guys that raise your ceiling the highest. Andy Kotelnicki developing Drew Aller for a second season. The week-to-week development that Kotelnicki provides is going to elevate Drew Aller's game even further. Best backfield in the country, best offensive line in the Big Ten, best defensive line in the Big Ten. I could go on. The only complaint is big game James Franklin. We were saying the same thing about Ryan Day after last regular season. Refresh my memory. What happened next?
Won a national championship.
Won it all.
I'm
glad you asked that question. I'm like, I know that one. I got one. I tell you what, can't wait to read your stuff on covers.com because you put in the work, and looking forward to following these bets as well. It is Douglas Farmer. Man, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate you having me on. Hit me up anytime and enjoy week one, football fans.
We will do that. First person I've ever met likes them all. It's just like the Michael Bolton albums. Oh, I love them all. of all those songs. Thank you, Douglas. Oh, man. Ah, I tell you what, I'm going to tail some of these picks. I particularly like, I love that Georgia Tech play. I was looking at that yesterday. Like, I still think Colorado's going to have, they're not going to be what they were, clearly, because they lost so much talent, but they haven't necessarily recruited well, so I'm definitely going to be on the Jackets. What are we going to be on tonight? That is the question next. We got some baseball, got some college football. Those picks and the docs are coming up next here on the BetMGM Network. With us, got Best Bets coming up here shortly. So, Chelsea, it's time for our weekly, at least now, Blake update. How's the swing coming? How's the softball going? I got to know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She's gotten a lot better. And, like, this is how it went with soccer. That, like, the first couple weeks, I was like, all right, she's not going to be good at soccer. It's fine. Let it go, Chelsea. But by the end of the season, like, once she learned the fundamentals, she was one of the best ones on the team. So I feel like, okay, I am holding strong onto faith that, like, she will come around. Because think about learning something for the very first time. Like, nobody's good when they first start something. But her stance at least looks like a decent swing. So we've been watching baseball games, MLB games on the MLB app, where we look at player stances and I try to have her mimic them. And there's some weird ones. Like, she was watching, like, Harrison Bader, and he does this, like, weird thing. So maybe we won't imitate that one. But did you ever do this growing up where you imitated the batting stances? Because there's some, like, really signature ones. Like, who's the – is it Gary Sheffield that does that, like, weird thing with the bat?
The thing that – the guy that always got me was Julio Franco, because he would go, like – I mean, the bat was just, like, parallel. And I was like, you know, you do this. I'm like, how is he hitting this? You know what I mean? That was always crazy to
me. He played till he was, like, 50.
Yeah.
Julio Franco played forever.
Oh, yeah. And then there would be a guy, who was it? I mean, a few guys do this, where they just sit there with just, like, the bat, like, chilling on their shoulder, you know? It's like, yeah, just go ahead. I'll go ahead and hit whenever you decide to pitch, you know? That, those guys always got me. Yeah. Batting stances are fascinating.
Who was it? There was somebody who played for, I think it was it Craig Biggio?
Did he
have a weird one? I'm trying to think, because like, deep cuts. It's been a long time. And, like, some of these guys kind of blend into me, because, like, listen, I was, like, 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
But that's, like, my next wormhole on YouTube, is I'm going to look up, like, craziest batting stances.
Pete Rose's stance was crazy, because he kind of squatted. Like, it was, you know, it was just, like, he squatted down really low. Like, you, I mean, which is why he was very much a singles hitter or doubles hitter. I mean, he hardly ever had any home runs. He did a few, of course, but it was really strange to see he was kind of, like, squatty. Yeah, I'm going to look this up on YouTube later on today. It's a good idea.
I feel like Jose Altuve needs to do that. Like, imagine if he crouched down, all, like, 5'5" of him. The strike zone would be, like, this big. Like, that would be so tough to throw strikes to. Because think about it. I also think that that's part of what makes him difficult to pitch to, because he is so small. Like, Aaron Judge, the strike zone is huge. And, like, obviously, you don't want to hang it in certain parts of the strike zone.
Yeah.
But for guys that are so short, like, I remember this, like, as a high school softball pitcher. When there's, like, this little, like, petite girl, you're like, she's just going to stand up there, not swing, and I'm probably going to walk her.
Well, I think that's what you do. You just teach her now. You know what I mean? Right now.
She's not small, though. She's going to be an Aaron Judge. She's 97th percentile in height.
Is she really? Oh, man.
She's a unit.
Blake's a unit. I tell you what, this girl, swing. I can't wait. Coming up next, something else I can't wait for. Bet Sweats, Joe O, and Sammy P continuing their NFL previews with the Ravens and Bills. The guys will also give their college football plays for tonight. Then the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, is along at 9:40. Mike Schopp joins at 11 o'clock. All right, big card. Let's do it.
Time to place your bets.
What do you got, Chelsea?
All right, best bet of the day for me is banking on solid starting pitching. We're going to go first five under four for -155. It is a little juicy, but listen, this is one of the games that caught my attention right from the jump. The first impression, Rose, goes to the Cubs and Giants. You look at the starters in this one. Logan Webb has been a friend of the program for quite some time, especially at home this year and even dating back several years now. This guy was in the contention to win Cy Young several seasons, a picture of consistency even this year. At home, he has an ERA under 3. He's going for the Giants. And then for the Cubs, you have Shota Imanaga, 3.03 ERA. And plus, he faces a Giants lineup that's pretty pedestrian. Bottom 10 in most statistical categories over the last month in baseball. I know the Cubs offense is really strong, but this is a veteran pitcher in Logan Webb that I think can get the job done. And plus, it is a pitcher-friendly park out in San Francisco. So first five, under 4, minus 155, Cubs and Giants.
Ooh, I like it. That will also make the card for me today. So I've got a big card. Why not? I got nothing to lose. Starting with the Red Sox on the run line against the Orioles. Okay, you got Garrett Crochet going up against Cade Povich. Garrett Crochet, as we know, is right there with Tarik Skubal for the Cy Young Award in the American League, and he has been awesome. 14-5, a 2.38 ERA. We're going to fade Cade is what we're going to do. In Baltimore, he is 1-4 with a 6.22 ERA. When you look at the bullpens, Aroldis Chapman just cannot be touched. The Red Sox pen has the best ERA in baseball. The O's have the worst ERA, or third worst ERA in the American League. Boston has also won 6 of 7. We're going Orioles. You know, we're fading the Orioles and going Red Sox run line only minus 105. And I think you're on that too.
Yeah, it's going to be a squad play. I feel like this is the biggest mismatch of the day. Like, people talk about Tarik Skubal and how dominant he's been. Garrett Crochet is right up there. Plus, mm-hmm. the fact that we now have Aroldis Chapman, who's been absolutely dealing on the back end of that bullpen for the Red Sox. Red Sox have the better offense. Let's bring out the brooms and go for the sweep in a big way for the Red Sox on the run line here at minus 105. Squad play.
Squad play. All right, other bets on the card. Let's do this. I looked around and I found it at minus 162. I'm talking about the Brewers hosting the Diamondbacks today. Brew Crew, get back on the right side this afternoon. You've got Nabil Chrismat going up against Jose Quintana. I don't know what Nabil Chrismat does. I think he's a journeyman who is now in his second stint with the Diamondbacks, but this is a reliever, right? So he's not going to go long in this game. Looks to be a pen game for the Diamondbacks, and we know that Diamondbacks bullpen has not been good. One of the worst pens in the majors. As for Jose Quintana, 2 runs or less in 5 of his last 6 starts. He's 10-4 this season. The Brewers 45-23 at home. Yes, it's juicy, but I actually feel like that you're getting some sort of value on the Brewers here. Brewers money line minus 162. Also, I am with you on Cubs Giants first 5 under 4 minus 155. And I'm also going Braves Phillies over 9. Right now it's at 9.5. I got it at over 9 at minus 145. We're seeing 10 in some spots because you've got Cal Quantrill going up against Aaron Nola. And Cal Quantrill has given up 18 earned over his last 16 2/3 innings pitched. That covers 3 starts with the Marlins, 1 with the Braves. Also, Aaron Nola has been really banged up this season. Hasn't been the same pitcher we're accustomed to seeing. 21 runs over his last 17 innings pitched. The Braves' bats have been red hot. The Phillies are back home. That's when they hit the baseball. So let's go over in Philly. And one football game. Akron plus 7. Hosting Wyoming. All right, so we're seeing money come in on the Zips. And I know I'm laying a little juice to get this number. But this is going to be a very windy game. So when you have conditions like that, sort of tightens up the spreads a little bit. I think the spread is too much. Also, the Cowboys lost almost everyone on their roster. So Akron is not a good football team. They went 4-8 last year, but Wyoming went 3-8 and again lost the majority of their players. So I think this number is way too big. Let's go Zips plus 7 tonight in Akron.
Ooh, I'm not going to lie. I was looking at batting stances. Google images.
Fair enough.
Kevin Youkilis is another one we should add to the mix. Those picks sound great, Jinx.
Thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Okay, well, before we get to Sammy P, I mean, we'll see. I think Sammy P is supposed to be here today. We'll find out. I don't know. But we know the Donkster is here, so let's find out what's going on with him.
When is Sammy Payne gonna get it over with and start an OnlyFans? I'm dying over here.
Donkster, Sammy P is a well-respected bettor, and I thought you were into girls. What is this?
Dad, it's been a long summer. Plus, I'm always watching Bet Sweats, and they only show his face. When do we get to see the lower half? Ratings bonanza.
Wow. God, we got to get you some company. Do you have a bet for us?
I do. This is for Sammy because he likes the White Sox. Giants, money line, over Shota Imanaga and the Cubs.
Okay. Well, I guess we're getting ghosted by Bet Sweats now. You know, first with Joe and Sammy P.
Is this personal?
Is it personal?
Is it personal? Is there a budding rivalry between the two shows? Because you bet at BetMGM tonight. They haven't seemed to have any issues with crosstalk this week. We've had Sammy P one time this week. Joe O a whopping zero times. At least one of the times they gave us a heads up. He's going to answer for
you
his
know what?
Crimes.
You know, since BetMGM
cat dragged in.
Since BetMGM has a new slogan, you know, make it legendary. I think a slogan for Bet Sweats would be "It's personal." Bet Sweats.
It's personal. His headphones in. Look at this.
Or just please show up.
Yeah. Bet Sweats. maybe. There they are. There he is. We didn't know. We were worried we weren't going to see your face this morning, Sammy P.
You sound like my dad right now. Where were you?
Where were
you?
What are you doing? What are
you doing? Where were you?
All right.
Texas. How many?
Texas.
There. He's back.
That's
on
my
right
boy.
Side.
That's my guy. All's forgiven.
All is forgiven. What else do you like this week? Do you have like 1,000 bets, or do you try to exercise some discipline the first week of the season?
So my biggest position is Sunday night. I got the U to beat Notre Dame.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm probably going to find myself on Oregon State against Cal. Cal is a disaster right now because, you know, Ron Rivera, Jenks, he basically has all the power at Cal now, and he's siphoning NIL away from the head coach. It's a disaster there at Cal right now.
That's all you needed to say was Ron Rivera, and I'm like, done, fading Cal immediately. I'm so excited. You're going to watch? You're going to be all in on college football tonight, right? Boise State, USF, let's go.
I'll be watching FCS while everybody else watches FBS, but I'm pumped. I can't wait. This is it's like the first day of school. I laid my outfit out last night.
Oh, look at that. It looks good.
His outfit.
Yeah, he looks great. He just got up ready to go. All right, Bet Sweats on your way next. That's it for us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. For Chelsea Messenger, I'm Michael Jenkins. Always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.